For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I am back again, your favorite Spider-Pan Jeremy. I think I'm the only Spider-Pan Jeremy you probably know, so I figure I must be your favorite, right? Well, I have had a grand time this past weekend at Planet Comic-Con Kansas City, our biggest local event, and apparently pretty big in the entire Midwest area for, of course, some celebrity guests. I'm talking about movies and comics and artists and vendors of all kinds and food and fun and cosplay all over the place, and it's gotten pretty crowded and fairly busy that when it comes to like a Saturday, I really don't get a whole lot of cosplay photos because it's just I don't want to have to stop the flow of traffic to get it. I mean, back in previous times, I used to go and there were people in costumes would be kind of standing somewhere and I would get them, but now everybody's kind of on the go trying to do different things. There's so much to do that it is a very, very busy time, and so I don't get a lot of cosplay photos like I did too. But I did on Sunday get a few photos, and I did see when I was waiting for my friend James to get a drink that I saw somebody dressed as Zack from Final Fantasy VII, and I thought, well, that's kind of neat, and, you know, neat even spiked his hair. And then I looked over and realized that he was waiting on his lady friend. I don't know what their relationship is. Could be husband and wife. I don't know. But she was dressed as Aerith. And so I thought, well, how cool. I'm going to get you two together, and I'm going to get a photo of you two. And I almost thought about buying myself a little Buster sword. I saw that in a few different places. I hit a few vendors on Friday. I set myself a budget of what I was going to be allowed to spend, and I did keep to it. And instead of buying any toys this time, I actually bought like three pieces of artwork. And I had to rearrange my office in here where I'm sitting, and I have the artwork now hanging in front of me, but that ate up a lot of the space that I would have bought toys that I normally, I'm looking around the room as if it makes a difference to you, but normally, you know, toys I have, I keep them in their packaging. That way I can hang them off the wall, and I now have no room to do such a thing. So I'm done buying toys for a while, except for I am trying to still make arrangements with a local that has an extra Prince Adam and Sky Sled thing for the Master Universe Origins line. I have one already, and it's up on the I've got it up on the wall in a way where it's kind of sitting shelf style, but I don't have one out that I can pose. And so I thought, oh, cool, I'll just get an extra one then. But they weren't able to meet me on Sunday like originally planned. So I need to make some other arrangements and get that figured out as well. But other than that, I think I've got to call a halt on my toy purchasing. The next thing that's going to have to go is I have a Jack Skellington Disney Infinity poster that was a special edition kind of thing that I got for I think it's because I had pre-ordered or just it was like a particular day to go and buy the disc or the set for Nightmare Before Christmas. And I got this poster. And so it's a special poster and I got it hanging over on a wall. And I'm like, OK, well, that's probably going to be the next thing that comes down if I choose to buy more toys that I want to hang on the wall, that will come down. Then from that point on, it's going to be these Star Wars posters I have hanging to my right, which I have the original trilogy posters hanging on the right side to the right or to my right. So that will end up coming down if I continue to buy toys, because that's going to be the only space I have left. But I like having these posters up, so it'll have to be something very good that I decide I want. And there was a few things I did kind of want to get at some point, but and I maybe have two spaces where, because I still would like to get a She-Ra For the animated style that has currently been released, and also Mentana. I mean, I've got a version of the original figure, but the animated version looks a lot better. So I would kind of like to order that as well. So, and I do have maybe a couple of spaces I can slide those. So I might end up getting those. So otherwise, I've loaded up my walls here in my office, and I really, between pictures and toys and things, I just don't have more room. I will, you know, probably making a purchase though. Sometime, maybe, you know, whenever I got some other things to buy, but with Square Enix going to re-release a new version of the same figure that I already have of Aerith, but with a different face sculpt where she's actually smiling, unless I can order the face and just swap the face on the one I have, I'm probably gonna be ordering that figure at some point in the future too. But then I am finished. I cannot collect any more toys. I don't know where I would put them. I don't even know where I'm putting more Funkos, even though I managed to win a Funko with the Pop Culture Pastor podcast, which that will be in an upcoming episode. We recorded an episode together at their booth. But today I sat down with artist Adrian Ropp and had a wonderful conversation with him. And I'm going to share that audio with you here in this episode. And he's going to be able to tell you about his special Kickstarter project that has just launched, actually, on Monday of the week that I'm recording this. And that's why I'm choosing to share his audio first, because I want you to go and support his project of a Steamboat Willie comic book. And he's not the only one working on this, him and a few other artists that are collaborating, and they're doing this right. They're doing this with respect to who Steamboat Willie is as being a form of a certain mouse. And because they have that much respect for it, you know, they're not going to do a weird horror thing with it. They're going to, you know, have fun little adventures, as he should. And so I'm kind of excited to check it out. I've already went and supported the Kickstarter as it is and put in my pledge. And so if we get a bunch of people to hit the pledge, then it will be fully funded and we'll all get a really cool comic book out of the deal. All right. So, well, before I get into that, we'll do our usuals. What have I been watching? Well, kind of an odd story, other than, you know, watching some stuff on YouTube. My wife has been having me watch Spy Family, which I think, you know, she's brought up previously on this podcast before. But I'm noticing I'll want to just sit in the living room or whatever. We're going to eat dinner. We eat in the living room watching TV, ain't that bad. There's only two of us. It's not like we have family dinners. We probably should eat at the table. But anyways, that's beside the point. But she'll start to binge me on some Spy Family, trying to, like, she's getting me caught up. But if I sit there too long, I'm usually tired on a weekday and I have maybe a little bit of time. I might play a game or take care of other things like recording this podcast. And then I kind of crash if I sit there and just watch TV. So she'll binge me on episodes. And typically what happens, she'll get me to watch two or whatever while I've eaten something. Then I've stopped eating. Then I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm still watching this episode. But then she'll start another one and I'm like, I don't want to get up. Or maybe I have a cat that has made me what we call catatonic because I have a cat in my lap or something, so I can't get up. But by the time we get to a third episode, I can see what's happening, but I'm not quite understanding what's happening because my mind is gone because I'm tired and I'm starting to drift off to sleep. So we're still working around that habit. What have I been playing? Final Fantasy 3 when I've gotten the chance. I haven't gotten a lot of time because I was preparing for the podcast, all the episodes I was going to do from Planet Comic-Con and the convention and stuff like that. So I did sit down a little bit before recording while I was waiting for the cats to eat and play a little bit of Final Fantasy 3. I'm working on getting platinums on all the different Final Fantasy games that's in this collection of 1 through 6. Having some fun doing it, using some guides online to kind of make sure I don't miss any hidden treasure chests or hidden items that is in Final Fantasy 3, and experiencing the stories and having some fun and leveling up and that kind of thing. You know, I just do not get into the turn-based combat stuff, but I'm tolerating it a lot more lately. I think I just got older and patient, and I just like going on these little adventures. Well, I do want to remind you about Dubby. If you happen to want to be able to play games and you don't want to get the jitters, but you want to just have some energy, you want some vitamins and stuff, you know, some good flavors, you can just mix these with water. If you go to neverlandpodcast.com and you'll find a large thing for Dubby on there, click in there, or if you go to w.gg and use the discount code Neverland, you can order some stuff and get a pretty nice discount. And of course, I get a little bit of kickback, so you're helping the show out and you're getting a wonderful product as well. Lots of different flavors to choose from. They got cups and different things. Go check it out at Debbie. Okay, without further ado, let's hear from Mr. Adrian Ropp.
All righty, fans. Now, for those of you listening on Dis Radio, I don't think you've gotten to hear from Adrian Ralph. You ever done Dis Radio with Jonathan Johnson?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, this will be a first, because Dis Radio should be airing this. And, of course, the Fanman Nexus, we know you from, and we were just talking about the infamous Jim Cummings is scheduled the same time we are.
Darkwing Duck foiled my interview.
Yeah, but we had a great interview. We got to still share it with everybody, and we had fun anyway, you know? It happens. It's never happened to us before. I think you're a popular guy. You got a lot of people following you on Facebook.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
But we're here with Adrian Ralph, artist extraordinaire, worked for Disney, for Avalanche. And you're doing stuff with Disney again right now, aren't you?
I am working at Disney. I'm an editorial writer at Disney right now. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Because you got to write even some scripts before. Yep. You were working with some voice actors before.
The first time I worked there, I was a writer and a storyboard artist.
Nice.
This time I'm just doing writing.
Just writing.
It's still a lot of work.
Yeah. Do you sort of write these stories with the storyboard a little bit?
When I do both, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I remember I've got to see a program from the guy, the Phineas and Ferb creator, and he would show how he would write his stories by drawing the storyboards and writing what he wanted everybody to say. And then, of course, it'd have to get approval because he was doing a parody of James Bond, and he showed what he wanted the scene to be and what it got cut down to.
Yeah.
But I was like, I never thought that you could write the story by the images, but Marvel apparently used to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so they would write pictures and Stan Lee would come up with words for it.
It's not necessarily recommended because you're not planning very well. You're just kind of like full speed ahead. But it's, you know, if you're an artist and a writer, you kind of know what the ins and outs of storytelling are, so it works out for you.
And you've got how many years now with the Chim Chim and the Portly Samurai?
It's going on the fifth year. I have about enough comic strips for the third collection of books. So I haven't even published the second collection yet.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think when I have 300 entries, then I'll have enough for three books. So.
And has it caught on yet? Because putting the little things, I thought they were great.
It's in a couple of papers in Idaho. I'm from Idaho.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep doing it, is because I owe them a comic strip every week. So that's what's populating the books.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So it's a start.
It's getting there. Yeah.
It's getting there. Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
It's something I do mostly for fun and because I love comic strips.
Yeah.
There's, unless you're Charles Schultz or Bill Watterson, there's not a lot of money in full-time newspaper comic strips.
Not these days, now that everything is so digital. But you actually got and we'll just jump straight into this Kickstarter. You've got a big project you're about to do with Kickstarter.
Yeah, so me and a couple of my friends that I've worked on, Archie and Pink Panther and Underdog with, we're doing a Kickstarter called Steamboat Visions. And it takes Steamboat Willie and it creates new adventures for him now that he's public domain.
Yeah.
So we're doing all of our different styles of Steamboat Willie, but we're trying to keep it very true to the property, very Disney friendly.
Yes.
We're not trying to do like the Winnie the Pooh horror movie kind of thing. We're making it an all ages book. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really hoping people will just go to Kickstarter, search for Steamboat Visions, and follow our campaign.
Yeah, no, heck, I follow you on Kickstarter already. Anyway,
awesome.
So I've been waiting, looking for when I can jump in. I appreciate that you're doing it, trying to keep with the spirit of the character, because I mean, we've had video games come out like, we got to do Steamboat Willie as a horror game. I'm like, it's Steamboat Willie.
That's not my jam. I've worked for Disney too many years. I understand the legacy that you give those characters when you're working on them and how much it means to people, and I just don't want to be the person that ruins that.
Yeah, awesome. So that gets me excited. It's like, here's somebody who knows how to do the character and is going to be faithful to it.
So please support the campaign.
Yes.
We really need it to work.
Something that's worthy of being. We won't call him Mickey Mouse because he's Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote two of the three stories, and I'm drawing one of them in my style. And we've got a lot of great like add-ons and rewards. I'm even doing an enamel pin. Steamboat Willie enamel pin, which I think will be really well received by people. So I do a lot of enamel pins.
It's going to be more your style or kind of more? Okay,
it'll
awesome.
Be my style.
Because you have a very cute style. I really like
Thank
it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of like an Americanized chibi style.
So that's a good description. That's apt. I never thought of that. But there's that X-Men one. I remember when you posted it on Facebook. Oh, that is awesome. I love it. if I wasn't so freaking poor, believe me, I would have so much stuff, and I'm running out of room on my wall.
There's
part of me that's very tempted. You probably noticed I'm a big Aerith fan from Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
And I've been part of my brain has been like, I wonder how much it would cost to get a commission to have Adrian draw me a good Aerith. But I've run out of space because I had last year had a great watercolor somebody did, and I put that on the wall, and I'm like, now I don't have room, and I just got a few more room for toys.
You know, so, but, it's okay because I rarely take commissions. I do very few. Because I shattered my hand 6 years ago, and I ruined all the nerve endings, and it took me forever to get it back. And I can only draw about 3 hours a day before it starts being really painful. Mm. So I do conventions very rarely. Like when I do a comic book convention like we're doing today in Kansas City, I usually only do 3 or 4.
I heard a beep. I was making sure it wasn't me.
Sorry.
Don't want my batteries to run out. So that's actually been, you've had a heck of a journey over the last, I mean, how many years ago was that, the hand?
The hand was 6 years ago.
Six years ago. And I remember you were trying to learn with your left.
Yeah.
And we're sharing on Facebook.
I did pretty well. I didn't ever get to a professional level, but I started drawing with my left hand because they told me I'd never draw again with my right hand.
Man.
And that was a pretty tough blow.
Yeah. I think that's when I had to start introducing you to Philip, because his first brain tumor was on the side over here, and they said he'd never draw again. They figured he might lose the use of his hand, but he didn't. So I was just like,
that's when I learned never to let doctors give you an expiration date.
Exactly. Oh. Doctors say one thing, God may say something else.
That's right.
So, and for you've had a heck of a time, because even that, I don't know how long after that you started having the kidney problems.
Well, so like I started getting really sickly at work, and they misdiagnosed me for about 2 years while I was working on Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, wow.
And then finally they said I was in kidney failure, and it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when I was going to have to go on dialysis.
Ooh.
It ended up being pretty soon after that diagnosis that I went on dialysis, and I had to take a leave of absence from work, and things weren't going very well for me.
but like here you are. I love you following along with you, and I'm trying to say supportive things. If there's nothing I could say, I was like states away. I was like, oh, poor Adrian, you know. But I was like, we want to keep your spirits up. I want to keep going, because I could tell that you were not going to quit. You had some times you were down.
I have people that count on me. I had a lot of things that I wanted to do with my life, and I just didn't feel like it was my time. I was going to fight it to the bitter end. And anybody that has a terminal illness, I don't care who you are, you have bad days.
Yeah.
Some days you just have to say, you know what, this really sucks. I don't deserve it. It's unfair.
Yeah.
And I need to have a pity party for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And when that would happen, I would just have my little pity party. You know, my sister, when I got told that I was never going to draw again with my right hand, I called my sister, and I was really upset. I was devastated, honestly, because that's how I talk to the world. And she said, you know what, you need to just go to a movie and just forget, just go to a matinee somewhere, forget your troubles, and just let the movie just take over your brain for a while, and you'll feel better. And the movie I went to see was Toy Story 4, in which Woody has to figure out a new purpose for his life.
Yeah.
And he has to leave things behind for a new adventure. And it was the most poignant film.
Goodness.
I'm going to cry now.
Oh.
It's the most poignant thing. When you're going through something like that, to see a film like that that's that powerful and speaks directly to what you're going through. So after that point, I knew I was going to be okay.
Yeah. See, there are no coincidences.
No.
God is in control.
Yeah.
He knows what you need when you need it. And you've kept going. I'm actually very proud of you for
Thank you, Jeremy.
As much as like some other people, but how you've come back and you're getting to work with Disney again.
Yeah.
It's like, he's back. This is so... I get excited for this. Like, this is cool.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, I had to retire from Warner Brothers after Hogwarts Legacy came out because my health just never recovered after my kidney transplant. And... but you know, my doctor said, like, look, you're never going to have a full-time job again. And an opportunity came up for me to help Disney with some of their interactive content that they're doing now. And I said, well, I can only give you like 10 hours a week. And they're like, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of living a really nice life for myself right now.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It ain't perfect, but it's great.
I make really good choices about my health versus my work,
yeah,
which I didn't used to do very well. All the years working on Disney Infinity and Hogwarts Legacy, I ran my body into the ground really bad, and I paid the price for it. So yeah. No more for me.
Yeah, and as I'm getting older, you know, being diabetic, I'm like, you know, I could kill my kidneys off too. I better watch it. So I'm trying to lose a little weight, get to the gym, and I'm like, all right,
victories. You have to make some good priorities in your life, because it will catch up to you.
We're getting older, and we want to keep doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we are not done yet.
No, we're not. We're just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
I just passed my half century mark, so in October, and I'm like, okay, Nazwa, you know what? All the women on Golden Girls, they had the best career move of their life doing Golden Girls, and they were all over 50. So yeah. I feel like I'm just getting started. Who knows what's going to happen?
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
So this is going to be awesome when it's done.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to talk about it. You let me know.
I for sure will. I'll shout it from the rooftops.
Oh, yeah. Because I still have all my Disney Infinity figures. There's a little shelf in our master bedroom. It's kind of on the edge of the wall. I line them all around there. I asked my wife, can I turn this into a Disney room? She's like, okay. I don't think she realized just how much stuff I had. And I went, it's like, hey, Star Wars is Disney. Spider-Man Disney. So the Spider-Man sits over here. All my Star Wars sits over here.
Yeah.
I have loaded up that room.
You know, I used to have that. I used to display all my Disney Infinity figures because I had every single one plus every power disc, everything Disney Infinity came out with, magazines, everything like that. And I was so heartbroken when I lost that job at Disney and it had meant so much to me. I finally had to just hide a lot of stuff in the box. The only stuff I left out was Sorcerer Mickey because he's the OG, the guy.
Yeah. Right?
And I got to write and record him, and so he's very special to me.
Yeah.
And all the Star Wars figures, I made a special shelf because I was inducted into the 501st Legion.
Oh, that's right.
Because of my Disney Infinity work. And so I have my plaque and all the other stuff involved with that up there.
Yeah. That is too cool. I remember when you got that.
Yeah, that was a pretty
There's a guy here, he's with, I think he's still with 501st and everything, but he used to be the head in the Kansas City area. He was a police officer, I think, in Overland Park. I used to do stuff with him in Saber Guild.
Okay.
But I never had enough money to buy me a decent lightsaber that I could perform with.
Gotcha.
And I didn't have time to keep either because you have to practice to get all your stuff down, then you have to costume. But they're out here, and I think he is here. I don't know if he's ever gotten to meet you, but I was like, hey, 501st.
When I have my next good gap of time, I'm going to head over because the 501st is right behind my booth.
Oh, okay, cool. I got to make sure I go talk to them.
I usually take a picture with the 501st Legion every place I go.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
It's pretty fun when you say, like, hey, I'm an honorary member. You take pictures with me.
Awesome.
You can act like a celebrity for 15 minutes and they humor you.
Yeah. Unlike acting for a celebrity the rest of the time that you're here. I mean, come on. Not everybody knows everything you've done, but I was awesome.
Getting that 501st award was to me like winning an Oscar. It means a lot to me. It means the fans loved something I did so much that they took the time to actually nominate me to become an honorary member of a Star Wars group. It was a big deal for me.
That is fantastic.
And I love that it's a worldwide organization, too.
Yeah, they do a lot of cool stuff. If I could get enough money to costume something, I would be doing something like that. Now they've even there's like a newer, I think there's like a Mandalorian style group that's kind of started getting big enough to where they're doing some things now. I think I started following it on Facebook. I remember seeing a big thing about it. I think
Someone
in the first spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like whatever your fandom is in Star Wars, it's one costume, there is something, and you can actually do something really cool in your costume.
Yeah.
There's even another local group, they do superheroes, and they go and do visits. I can't remember what they're called, but they're around in here too. But that's really great. And so, like, if they invite you to go and get to do something, let you borrow a costume. I'm kind of like counting. I've got this vision in my head. You're going to go back and talk to us. Hey, I'm an honorary member. Like, where's your costume? Oh, I don't actually have one. I'm honorary. He's like, we'll put you in a costume. We're going to go do a thing. You want to come with?
I don't know.
one of the best things about being an honorary member is you don't have to actually make a costume.
But you could still wear one. Could somebody find an extra?
Maybe. I put on all my death diagnosis clothes, weight, so I don't know what I'll fit into. Maybe like if somebody's got like a double X Boba Fett costume or something like that.
That'd be awesome. I bet somebody's got some spare. That would be awesome if that happened, especially because this would be a special thing. I bet there's some kids out there on dialysis that you could come up, and how cool would it be if you could share.
I do a lot of advocacy for kidney health and dialysis. If anybody comes up to me and gives me an opportunity to do something for people on dialysis, people that are in kidney failure, I'll say yes before they finish asking the question, for sure.
Your proof that you can come out of it on the other side.
Well, I feel like a lot of grace was afforded me so that I could still be here.
Yeah.
And it would be really selfish of me not to give back for what I got out of it.
That is an awesome perspective. Exactly. And that's like one of the things I live with great power comes great responsibility, which is from the Bible, from much is given, much is expected.
Yeah.
And you're taking what was given and doing exactly what you should.
How could I not? The person that gave me my kidney passed away, and he had a family, and he checked on his organ donor, on his driver's license, that he wanted to be an organ donor. And if he wasn't for that small act of selflessness, I wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. So it's this gets thrown around a lot, but it's literally the least I could do.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you do it. And that you think that way, it's perfect. That it's like, hey.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it, but like that is exactly the way you should be.
Yeah.
So that is awesome.
I'm on my bonus life and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
There you go. Not everybody gets that second chance, but you have, and you're doing it to the fullest. That is fan-flippin-tastic.
Thanks, Jeremy. So, appreciate that.
I don't know what else to say, but either way, I do want to remind people, the Kickstarter, you said, starts on Monday.
Which, and there are some early bird rewards, but there's very few early bird rewards. But one of the big premium things you can do is I can actually draw you into the comic book with Steamboat Willie. You could be a character in the comic book. So it's a lot of fun. We've got, I'm doing it with Bill Galvin, who's done a ton of Archie stuff.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy.
Jacob Grenewald, who's done Rocky and Bullwinkle, Pink Panther, and right now he's doing The Loud House. He's doing comic books for The Loud House.
Okay, I had to think of The Loud House for a second.
He's a fantastic artist too. We all did covers, so you can choose which of our covers you like the best. Goodness. And it's going to be a fun time. We want to really make a good bid for good all ages entertainment for kids now. And I think Steamboat Willie is our character.
Big kids are going to love this too.
I hope so. Yeah.
Makes fun of me. A guy who's got toys all over his wall, you should see what I've done to myself now. Oh, yes. I'm looking forward. I'm excited about the idea.
I mean, if I had a 3D printer, we'd probably already have a Disney Infinity Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sad we never got that Peter Pan figure.
Some people got it.
Not me.
Because the warehouse put him outside to be thrown away and somebody stole him.
Oh my goodness.
That's how they got on eBay.
I didn't know. I bet they were charging a lot for that.
You can still find them on eBay. If you play your cards right, you can get them for not too much. The thing is, they're a collectible figure, but they don't actually work in the game.
Oh, well, so, but still. I mean, I still have all my games. I think I have my PS3 version, my PS4, both PS4 versions that I have.
Oh, yeah?
I still have all of it. So, I mean, I could pull them out and play it, but I'm mainly right now it's just laying. I just like having them all surrounding me.
One of my favorite things to do now at conventions, even 10 years later, is kids will come up to me with their figures and have me sign them.
Aww.
And I've done it so much now that I know exactly where to sign on each figure so that my pen won't hit bumps or anything like that.
So it still works. I don't know, you might have some people want them to stop. Okay, let's check it. She stopped the look. I was like, they might want some of them. So you've gotten to work, of course, all these old characters we grew up with, Pink Panther and Underdog.
Yeah.
What old character have you not gotten to work with yet that you want to?
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. There's a good one.
No question, Mighty Mouse. Yeah.
Although I'm one of them.
I might have said Steamboat Willie before, but I'm taking that into my own hands now.
And that's the thing is, like, I'm one of them weird kids. Like, I'd watch Tom and Jerry. I'd start rooting for Tom. Because I like cats. Although I had a pet mouse, I loved it to death. Literally, because it died. But I always, I'd watch Mighty Mouse, and I'd feel bad because the cat was so outclassed. Mighty Mouse was like, "What you gonna do? That's Superman, the mouse.
Yeah,
your party's over." So I was like, "If you ever get a chance to write Mighty Mouse, make a cat villain strong enough to give Mighty Mouse a challenge."
Oh yeah, I will. I've got a whole story in mind. It's Mighty Mouse Year One, basically.
Oh.
I don't have access to that character, but I'm putting out feelers wherever I can.
Oh yeah.
If I ever see classic characters that need a little bit of love, a little resurgence, mm-hmm. I try to do what I can to help them meet the next generation and not lose any of the things that were great about him. Now with Mighty Mouse, one thing I might drop is him singing operatic every line that he utters, but because that might be a little too hard for people.
That was fun though.
But I'd really love to work on some Mighty Mouse cartoons.
And if you do a comic, you have to give him a human friend named Andy, based off Andy Kaufman. I mean, you probably can't do his own lightning, but just because I love the way he used to do that, and he would do the.
As you can imagine with this Steamboat Willie campaign, I've learned a lot about copyright laws and how to be very, 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 very careful.
Well, because you can use Pegleg Pete?
Yeah. No,
you can
not
use
Pegleg.
Really?
He has both legs in Steamboat Willie.
Oh, he does,
and you can use Minnie, too.
Yeah, you can use Minnie.
Yeah.
And you can have fun with some of the other animals that show up.
All the animals, the goats and ducks and everything. In fact, my cover is Pete hovering over Mickey holding a duck in a crate. We did everything's in black and white. It's there's my cover that's like my style. Then Bill's cover is kind of like an Indiana Jones Adventures poster sort of look with a big river monster on it. And then Jacob's is really, really, really a nod to the classic Mickey cartoon.
Nice.
The black and white Mickey cartoon. And we have a special, I haven't even announced this yet. I'll give you an exclusive-ish. There is a person that we are going to be having write an article in the front of the book that has very, very strong ties to the Mickey Mouse comic strips.
Well, no, that wouldn't be Don Rosa. Let's say Don Rosa's over here.
He's a duck guy.
Yeah, he's a duck guy.
He told me to leave
him
alone.
Do not ask him about DuckTales. I accidentally did once.
Oh, I'm afraid to go talk to him because I'm wearing a Goofy shirt.
You might be okay with that.
Disney afternoon.
You just talked about Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
Yes, because I made that mistake because I was excited. And I hadn't read any of these comics, but I love DuckTales. And I like. I still got an autographed picture with him because I'm still excited about it. You know, since it's hanging on the wall.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He just gets sick of people saying, "Did you create DuckTales?" Because that wasn't his thing.
That wasn't his thing. Yeah. And then so now he's got the sign out there. So now you know.
I found out that I am friends with a person that has very, very close ties to the old newspaper comic strip.
Oh my goodness!
Mickey Mouse newspaper comic strip. So
we'll find out later. If
you'll
goes
find out
right.
later. I'm going to reveal it after the campaign is going to the backer, to the pledgers.
So everybody, come on. You got to support this thing because we got to get it back because now I'm curious. Like, this is cool.
I don't want this to be the only comic we make. Like, I really don't.
Yeah,
if
you can keep doing this, that would be cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
And Galloping Gaucho is also available because that came out the same year as Steamboat Willie. And in 2 years, Plane Crazy will be available.
Oh, because I guess Plane Crazy wasn't fully released until later. No. Although, I mean, they'd had it.
It was
sort
done
of there.
First, but they added sound for the Steamboat Willie one.
You could have some fun with Plane Crazy.
Yeah. I have some big ideas.
Oh,
Popeye's coming into public domain now. And Felix the Cat is in public domain. So there's a lot of fun things to play with. But I will never do anything that disrupts people's love of the character. I'm going to honor that legacy as much as I know how.
Which is the best way to do it. He's like, people who are fans create things is always best.
I mean, when I was doing Pink Panther, I wouldn't... they'd send me scripts where he talked, and I wouldn't do those. I wouldn't draw those stories because I'm like, no, he doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk.
Not in my universe.
We could maybe give him a thought bubble if we absolutely had
he works better as a pantomime character.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have so many Hispanic people come up to me at my booth and they don't speak English, and they see Pink Panther stuff, and they start crying because they know I can communicate with them through the character.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't have to have a translator
to watch Pink Panther in their countries.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty special gift to be able to give that to people.
Yeah, and Pink Panther was always one of my favorites. I used to love watching that. Oh my goodness, Woody Woodpecker, Pink Panther.
Woody Woodpecker is really great too.
That's why I like the MeTV tunes, because they show some of those. I don't think they've picked up Pink Panther yet, but all cartoons.
On MeTV tunes, I got caught up on a lot of Woody Woodpecker stuff that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. They did a box set, but I was never able to get it.
Oh, I didn't know they put a box set out.
It was forever ago.
Oh my goodness.
Before Blu-rays happened.
Oh, so that's been a while.
Yeah.
That's been a while. But anyways, I probably should wrap this up. So, well, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
And I think you got more people coming along. Well, right. Hopefully this goes pretty well today. You sell some stuff, and hopefully this Kickstarter, because last time I had a Kickstarter guy on, it didn't get funded. He's coming back, though.
Look, so I don't like to give up very easily.
Exactly.
So.
Never give up, never surrender.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
All right, before we wrap up the show, I do want to remind you about Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis, the award-winning Daniel J. Lewis's company. And if you happen to have a podcast, you want to be able to get your reviews from around the world. He has the perfect solution for you. Just set up a simple account over there. You'll get your reviews sent back to your email. And that is just the beginning of all the fun features he has on his website and all the options you have for your account. So that's all at podgagement.com. Go and check that out. It is a fantastic thing. And in fact, if you would like to go to Podgagement, I have a link for you. Once again, neverlandpodcast.com. You can click through that link, and he knows that you came from me. And so he knows that you came from quality podcasting, right? So definitely go and check that out. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of the Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will and Height and Wall Show. They helped me out with the introduction. Don't forget to email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. We are on X at Neverland PCast and on Facebook for the Fandom Nexus. We have a Facebook group. If you just search for Neverland Podcast, that is still the name of the group, or at least how you search for it on the for your bar up there for its group/Neverland Podcast. But I'm sure if you search for the Fandom Nexus, you should be able to find both the fan page and the group. The group is a lot more interactive. I post there a lot more often because it's a lot easier. I don't have to switch profiles or anything like that. Don't forget that we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You'll find, of course, a link for that as well on neverlandpodcast.com. And hey, even with Red Circle, if you go and you look down on your show notes there, you'll find a link to become an exclusive member to Red Circle. That's how you get rid of those extra ads I have at the beginning, the end, and middle of the show. You're still going to have me read off my sponsored bits, but at least you have less ads. And you get a lot of extra bonus features if you go onto Patreon. And even in Red Circle, I have some little episodes I occasionally post in there that don't go to the main feed. So definitely worth checking out. And of course, you help out the show to keep me going. And I'm going to start saying this now every show. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by their respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license, although I didn't use anything like that. But that will help when if I was to do the trailer park and stuff. I was having problems with that, and apparently that will help clear it up. If I'm reviewing your ad, your trailer, then it's under fair use. But yeah, so I've been having problems with when the episodes translate over to YouTube, and I'm trying to take care of that problem. And it's also been a problem with our other podcast, Watching Movies with My Pastor. So I've had to make sure I do that as well. So make sure you go and check out Watching Movies with My Pastor. We just released an episode where we watched the 1937 Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, not to be confused with the 2025 live action Snow White, with no mention of dwarves in the title. So very big difference. All right, but definitely go and check that episode out. And of course, come back next time. We're going to have more fun. I think we'll probably go ahead and share the audio that I recorded with Pop Culture Pastors, another local podcast around here, somewhat in my area. They're a little bit further away in the Kansas side of things, but not too far. I mean, you could probably get to them in about an hour's drive, I think, something like that. But until we meet again, get lost in an adventure, and I'll see you next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.